This reminder, this is the Spring On Air fundraiser, a time when we remind our listeners how important and vital they are to us staying on the air here at KUAF year after year. People call in and pledge online and show their support for their public radio station, and we ask that you do that now if you haven't done so yet. We have sent our phone volunteers home for the day, but you can still contribute online at supportkuaf.com. The website is always there and open, but why not go ahead and make that contribution now while you're thinking about it?
Yeah, why not? We were talking a few minutes ago, and we mentioned that 66% of our budget comes from local listeners and the local businesses. Mentioned that 88% we're responsible for in-house, raising through grants or whatever. Someone had said to me a few months ago, wouldn't it be great if you just had one or two interests that could give you a lot of money and you wouldn't have to ask for so much? But the problem with that, and I have known people who've worked at public radio stations that have had that situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe their university gave them a bulk of their – if that funding goes away – you're out of luck. Mm-hmm. Or if, and I don't know anyone where this has happened, but if someone gives you a lot of money and they say, well, we'd rather you do this or rather you not do that, you kind of have to listen. The great thing about having so many investors across the board is that those are not problems. If someone moves away, well, there are a few thousand people to help out. And no one, you know, the great thing about public radio is that no one has undue or more influence than anybody else.
No.
It's a work of unity.
I think that's a testament that every contribution matters, though,
right,
too, because it takes thousands of contributions to make up that humongous percentage of our over $1 million budget. So, I mean, even if you can only give $20 right now, it really adds up because it adds on to the contribution that was $20 before yours,
right,
and makes 40. And then we just chip away at it until we make it.
Right. And it's worked for us for almost 30 years. It's been since 1985 that we've been an NPR station. And we first aired All Things Considered in 1985 because we had initial support from listeners. And we've been doing fundraisers since then. And it's worked.
And we hope that you will help ensure that it continues to work, that this model will continue to be here and support your public radio station. And by doing that, we ask that you make the choice to become a contributing listener and contribute online right now at supportkuaf.com. It is fast and simple. The site is secure. We try to make it as easy as possible for you to give the amount that you feel that you want to and in the manner that you choose.
All right. Supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
Every month on an Ozarks at Large Wednesday, we select a topic that has attracted our curiosity and find out just a bit more about it. Since this particular Wednesday falls within our spring fundraiser, we thought a money-related topic would be appropriate for this month's edition of Three Things. Our search to learn three things about coin collecting took us to Garrison Avenue in downtown Fort Smith. DBKJ Numismatics Rare Coins and Currency is open most weekdays from 10 until 4. Dale White, the owner, has been in the rare coin and currency business for 23 years, and he says he's been a collector his entire life. He says collectors of coins, stamps, baseball cards, whatever, are just a bit genetically different from non-collectors. For him, the coin collecting interest began in his father's grocery store in southern Arkansas, examining the change from the cash register. So I asked Dale to offer us three truths about coin collecting. Number one, the hobby probably won't make you filthy rich.
Probably not likely. There's very few things today in circulation that have value above the face value of the coins. There's still things that people can collect out of circulation, like the state quarters, the national park quarters. Those kind of coins you collect because you like them. You don't collect them because they're valuable, but it is fun for kids or novice collectors to see how many different ones they can get or if they can complete the set from circulation.
So that complete set of U.S. state quarters, worth a little more than face value, maybe. The Susan B. Anthony dollars, worth a dollar. Wheat pennies, the 1 cent piece minted from 1909 through 1958, are worth more than 1 cent.
Right now, we're selling bags of 5,000 for about $200, which makes them about 4 cents a piece in quantity.
Truth about coin collecting number two, coins are a direct connection to history. Dale showed me one of his favorite coins on Monday afternoon.
It's a 1794 half dollar. That's the first year that half dollar was made by the United States. And if you hold that in your hands or just cover it and think about it a minute, George Washington was still president when that was made. John Adams had been elected but had not taken office yet. And if that coin could tell the story from the time it left the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia until it arrived in my hands in Fort Smith, Arkansas, some 225 years later or so, what story would it tell?
He says only 23,464 copies of that particular coin were minted. It's nearly impossible to figure out how many are left on the planet, but compare that to the hundreds of millions or even a billion minted of a particular contemporary coin. Dale's 1794 half dollar is a bit dingy. It takes some close inspection to make out the date.
Part of it looks a little bit gray, a little bit dark. Part of it is it's all original. It's never been cleaned. It's not been messed with. This coin cleaned would probably be worth half of what it's worth.
Really?
So the originality adds to the value.
So you want that history.
Yes.
You want that patina.
You want that
there.
Patina. You want the originality.
And a third truth about coin collecting, paper currency can become worth plenty in a hurry. Well, certain paper currency anyway.
Paper money or currency has a shelf life or active life in circulation of about 18 months. Coins generally will last about 30 years. So you're right. It has a much shorter shelf life. Generally, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing that prints our paper money produces larger volumes of paper money. So there's more quantity in circulation. The turnover is a lot faster. But it is quite collectible. Some of the early designs and some of what's called the large size notes or saddle blanket notes made before 1928 when the currency was physically larger has some really, really beautiful designs. It's highly desirable. It's highly collected. And there's some stuff that's a bit economical, but it can get very pricey very quick.
But again, that really valuable out-of-circulation currency probably isn't tucked away in the garage or in your grandparents' cedar chest. I asked Dale about U.S. paper money with the words silver certificate on them that I had inherited from grandparents.
Do those have any extra value to them?
A little bit. I have a bundle of 100 I'd probably sell you for $150.
Okay.
So it's a nominal value thing again.
Okay, so you're not going to get rich. But the real joy of collecting isn't about getting wealthy anyway. Dale says collecting coins and currency offers an infinite supply of collectible pieces of history and art.
There's almost always a story, but people have different motives. Some people are just what I call hoarders. They collect with no specific goal or theme. They just gather up things that they like. Other people are very, very meticulous and very, very detailed. They collect certain series, only the finest they can get in that series. They keep meticulous notes of everything that they do. So in collecting, it's probably in any genre of collecting, not just coin collecting. There are different types of collectors within that group.
Dale White is the owner of DBKJ Numismatics Rare Coins and Currency, located on Garrison Avenue in downtown Fort Smith. He told me three things about coin collecting when I visited his shop on Monday afternoon.